taken over, and they're just about to start rounding us up and putting us in recoloration camps or something, when this big spaceship lands, and out pops an alien slug with like 100 trillion types of cone cells in its eyes. Just an unfathomable number of cone cell variations. And the leader of the Tetrachromats knows he's beaten. He bows his head and implores the Slug King, "Your Majesty, please, I beg of you, tell us, O Mighty One, what is it you see when you look up at the sky with your trillions of magnificent cone cells?" And the Slug King says, "Oh, you'll never get anywhere with those." Shelley filled you in, Tom, about the new plan, the Hail Mary. I nod silently. He has an overbearing presence, our dear leader, so I try to keep quiet when he's around. "Hard not to see it as defeat," he admits, "but I suppose we all have a cross to bear, and you more than most." He sees my posture stiffen, can tell I'm nervous. "Tom," he says, more gently now, "do you even know why I chose you for this?" I shake my head. "That's why, Tom. Because you'd never even think to ask. It's remarkable, really. You're a true soldier, a true believer. And now here's the critical piece. I need you to follow some instructions of mine to the letter." "To the letter, Tom." I nod. "People will try to talk you out of it, and you'll be incredibly tempted to use your own judgment. I need you to smother those instincts in the cradle, Tom." Shelley pulls us aside. "It's time." She hands him his debate materials, a notepad, a ballpoint pen, and what appears to be a loaded .38 special. Then Shell and I head to the green room to watch it all unfold on the jumbo monitors. On the left, the debate stage. On the right, our focus group of debate watchers, wired to the hilt with electrodes. One of Shell's people is in there with them, explaining how we're tracing their biological feedback and running it through our algorithm, and how feedback-based central node reset events, or brain quakes, are extremely uncommon these days. "You look more nervous than they do," Shell says to me, "and they're about to get electrocuted." "I'm fine, really." We can see Brent Criswood on the left monitor now. Pompous shill. Over 100 million eyeballs on him if you count the networks and the streamers. Just a handful of minutes left to save all our skins from total Armageddon. "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," says Brent. "We've got an unexpected treat here tonight. A real honest-to-God debate, if you can believe it. First one in years, which means someone out there is feeling pretty damn desperate, am I right?" "Cocksucker," Shell whispers over the braying masses. "Now then," says Brent, quieting the room, "let's welcome to the stage our two candidates. First, but not least, on my left, the current and, God willing, future President of the United States, incandescent star of our beloved Demo-Publican majority, author of the Kiev Accords, father of the great détente, mother of dragons, probably, overseer of 8 glorious years of peace and prosperity, your hero and mine, President John D. Rockefeller Kennedy Onassis Hemsworth III, Esquire. And on my right, I don't know, some irrelevant lunatic from the so-called New Party, Crib or something. It's a crick. Whatever," says Brent. "Probably could have negotiated a better intro," Shelley admits. She's not much of a strategist, Shell, but her hair smells incredible. "Is that makeup?" I whisper. "He looks a little less green tonight than usual." She nods proudly. "This is likely the first time most voters have seen Crick's face, and flesh-colored always polls better than the alternative." "All right," says Brent. "Let's begin. Now, I want to ask mostly policy questions tonight, but there are a few, let's call them personal odds and ends we should address right off the bat. One of you seems to be wearing a... Is that a swastika tie clip, Crick?" "Remarkable man, Hitler. Took some impressive swings. Not all of them home runs, I'll concede it. But you've got to admire the sheer size of those Bavarian snow globes." "Oh, Brent," says the president warmly, "can I chime in?